Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into our week 13 primer here. This is one of those situations where, like, this would usually be you're heading in, like, all the playoff stuff's solved. All of those questions are usually close to over, right? We have some finality in terms of where we stand, buys and all that stuff. In a prior year, this year, most leagues have kicked back an additional week. So now we're playing 14 regular season weeks. So some interesting things here as we sort of go out another week. Some of those situations still, you know, I have a couple that are, you know, largely solved in terms of, like, what the seeding's going to be, at least the important things. But we still got to grind through. We still have lots of teams that are still in the mix for playoffs and keep pushing here. So, all right. So let's take a look here at some of the injury stuff. I think maybe the big one at quarterback, at least, is the situation of Kyler Murray. Cliff Kingsbury has been a little bit all over the place in terms of this. I think is a fair way to characterize it. I saw quotes today, you know, indicating, hey, you know, look, there's basically you need, you want to be, you know, very careful. Basically, is like the quote coming out of there is like we're going to be, you know, we're going to basically protect our asset, which that's nice. Like, we should probably be back by now. It sort of be the, I think, was the initial thought, and all the reports and everything was that this wouldn't be a thing. Are they playing shenanigans? Is this a situation where they're playing, that they're not necessarily making stuff up, but trying to, you know, play the uncertainty thing? He's practiced all week, right? I mean, I don't know. To me, that's a strong yes. In terms of go, like, he's been a limited participant all week. Now, I understand that, that they want to see him play. I get see him practice. I get the impression that this is going to be one of those ones that we get Saturday into Sunday night, you know, Saturday night into Sunday morning. And it's very much a, hey, you know, unless something flares up. Like, there was a really good quote this week, and it was like, unless there's an aggravation pregame, like, this player is going to go. And I was like, okay. All right, good. Okay, fine. That very much has that feel to it. So that would be something I think we will get clarity on it. So I did pick up a couple of shares of Colt McCoy that had been dropped because I think people thought, you know, going into the bye, coming out of it, that, listen, this would be a situation where you're going to really get some good opportunities because of, you're going to get, you don't need Colt McCoy, and you've got good other opportunities on your waiver wire, so you don't need to keep Colt McCoy because Kyler Murray's going to be back. As this week's gone on, like, that may end up, in fact, being true. But I think where I have the ability to sort of stash the spot, I'm going to stash McCoy here. You know, even if it's just playing some prevent defense or, you know, and I'll say this too, as we get to this point of the season, this is very much like, you got to protect against COVID. And Chad and I were discussing this, it might not even been on the air, but, and we talked about this a little bit earlier on in the group chat this week. Very much becomes like, you know, there is an aspect of innings eating that has to go on in this, right? Like, listen, if you get a guy that you can sort of put in your lineup, you know, and it's early and you don't have to wait for the uncertainty, like, it makes some sense, right? It's not what I'm advocating with Colt McCoy, but it is a, hey, listen, like, we don't know. As I sit here on Friday, in a typical pre-2020 year, I wouldn't have a ton of concern about, you know, starting quarterback X not being able to play. That is a remote possibility this year. So again, still continue to go through that exercise of picking up, you know, if there's going to be spot starts, pick them up, or, you know, if you think there's uncertainty in a situation, pick it up. And then, you know, you can cut it pregame and, you know, sort of go through those principles of make sure not to carry someone over through a game when you might otherwise want to carry that roster spot to do something else with. The classic, you know, hey, the situation's up in the air Thursday night. Well, like, it didn't break my way. Well, let's cut the person and open up that roster spot, right? We're still using all of those things But I do think a situation like Colt McCoy, you know, I'm sort of talking about it more in depth than probably Colt McCoy deserves this particular week. But I think, you know, continuing to work these angles is a big focal point here. So Kyler, game time decision, I suspect we'll know overnight. All right, so some of the other ones here. Fields is doubtful. He's been limited all week with ribs, so maybe he's on the mend here out a couple weeks, so that'll be good to potentially watch for there. Hopeful for that. But it looks like it's another Andy Dalton week. Jalen Hurts limited all week with an ankle, but I think the common thought is that he will be good to go. Taysom Hill, by the way, suffered that mallet finger injury, not quite as bad as Russell Wilson did. So we'll see if he, you know, it doesn't look like surgery is necessary at this point, but I think that's a situation to monitor, and maybe you're picking back up Trevor Siemian shares next week. All right, let's look at some of the situations here for your strength of schedule matchups here. So on the quarterback side, your best matchup of the week is Vegas. They're playing Washington. So Washington's been very susceptible to you know, the quarterback passing game. This game is in Vegas. It is a 49 over under, high totals, high implied totals, close line. So interesting there. And this is actually, as I look at it, the third highest total of the week. So interesting spots there for all around. Dallas obviously played Thursday night. Tampa, it's a good matchup against Atlanta. Pittsburgh, good matchup against Baltimore. So this isn't your father's Baltimore Ravens team, to use the metaphor there. This is a weaker version of that defense. So we'll be again, I don't know how much you trust Ben. Ben's basically like one of the worst graded passer in terms of PFF and all that stuff, right down there at the bottom. So a struggle there for him. Philly is playing the Jets, and the Jets have gotten carved up on the ground. So that's another one where that's like a Jalen Hurts, you know, assuming Jalen Hurts is healthy and ready to go. I like, you know, I sort of like that that matchup there for him. Okay, and then so then after that, pretty much everyone's within a couple points of neutral on the opposite side of the spectrum. Buffalo with the toughest matchup of the week against the Patriots. The Patriots with the second toughest matchup of the week against Buffalo. So I saw someone being like, why is the over-under 40, like low 40s for that game? Well, they're gonna carve each other up on defensively. So some interesting stuff there. You know, I continue to think, and there's been some really interesting stuff, and there's some good stuff from this week I've really thought a lot about, in terms of like when we discussed it, there's a PFF article. I actually use the phrase embracing the variance is like a critical to all aspects of life, including football, which, you know, from a embrace the variance themed podcast is something that we absolutely love to see. But there's a lot of that in terms of running the ball and the importance of running it and all that stuff. I just think it's really interesting. I went back and I looked at some of Allen's stuff. He almost doubles in terms of production in the rushing game in the playoffs. And so he's up in yards closer to double. But he's, you know, up basically like 30-40% and something like that in terms of carries. Actually I take that back. He's up more than 50% in terms of carries, you know, where he is versus, some of the running stuff. And if you take out, there's like one weird game against Baltimore that, if you sort of look at the other games other than that, it's not a huge sample size. So you hesitate to sort of take a ton of games out of it, but like there's some really enormous rushing stuff. That was the one thing that's always been curious to me about, you know, thinking that the Bills can't run the ball. Like your best asset is giving the ball to seven, you know, is playing five wide and running 17. So it'll be interesting to see how all that works out. But some more, the one thing I really like about some of the analytics that's going on right now is that we're getting different ways to watch the game. And I think understanding it in more advanced ways is really, really interesting. So definitely go check out that PFF article. I tweeted about it as well. So, okay, so the passing games there aren't good. Again, we'll see what the rushing games can maybe do in that game. But I still think you're playing Allen. maybe you're not necessarily playing Mac Jones in the quarterback two spot would sort of be my angle there. All right, Jets and Cincinnati round out the other games that are on the negative side of the spectrum. Again, everyone else is within a couple points of your expectation. Okay, next up is your running backs here missing the week. So it looks like Melvin Gordon's not going to play this week. Javonte Williams is unreasonable isn't the right word, but it feels unreasonably high in terms of where he's at. Like him over McCaffrey is a 50-50 proposition. That just seems absurd to me. Like there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that either of them are healthy. There's also no guarantee that Melvin Gordon's not back, that they don't bring in additional competition for Javonte Williams. Like, there's no guarantee of all that stuff. So, I don't know. It's just an interesting this could take – I mean, I'd be – like, at the pace that this Javonte Williams hype train is going, like, he could be a top three running back in Dynasty. I will not put him there, but it's pretty wild how fast it's up to him. It's also worth noting when you think about people talking about how – you know, crummy a class is and all that stuff, right, in November and December. You know, and then we get into all these debates, like all these, you know, all the semantics about, well, Najee Harris is just too old. Like, the Dynasty community wants to put two of the rookies in what was otherwise thought is not a great running back class in the top five of Dynasty running backs. I mean, some things are just predictable. And there's not a ton about production that is, but there's a ton about human psychology that is, and we're seeing it again with Javonte Williams. So just keep that in mind. So Melvin Gordon out, Javonte Williams showcase game. Well, I shouldn't say Melvin Gordon out. Melvin Gordon on the doubtful side of doubtful. Philip Lindsay has not had a setback after an ankle injury here, so he's doubtful. So maybe this situation goes back to Duke Johnson as being the injury away guy. That might be a late week pickup as Lindsay is out, so just keep in mind that. A couple of DMPs for Trey Sermon with an ankle injury. Not sure if he's going to land on IR or anything like that, but we'll be watching. It's worth noting Kamara was a limited participant and they held him out in the game, so we'll see how that goes. Delvin Cook out, Jordan Howard out, both did not practice this week. JD McKissick already ruled out for a Sunday game, which is concerning with that concussion. So we'll see there, you know, hopeful that he's okay. Damian Williams out with a calf, DeAndre Swift out with a shoulder. So watchful there. Okay. And so Jamal Williams, you feel okay about? I mean, I think this is a maybe a lesser version of the Madison theory. On this one, just because I think there's, I don't think Jamal Williams is necessarily hugely better than his competition, but, it's about a neutral matchup there for them. But I think it should consolidate, you know, and I think if you're thinking, how this looks, I think it's probably going to look more heavily towards Jamal Williams than it does, you know, Swift over Williams in a given week. So interesting spot there for Jamal Williams, as we look and have in lineups. I think, when the line on that game is 7, so it's not a huge line. They are home. So you think that maybe they can keep it close and run it quite a bit. And that's an interesting spot start for Jamal Williams. All right, some other ones here in terms of injuries. Alex Collins limited through the week here with an abdomen injury, probably on the good side to go. A couple of DMPs for Daryl Henderson. I'm recording this at 4:18 on Friday, so I have not yet seen the status of him because of it's just a later, we haven't seen the Friday status reports on some of these West Coast guys. So just for what that's worth, pay attention to that. I think Sony Michel, I mean, it's an interesting spot with Sony Michel. You're playing Jacksonville. It's a neutral spot. Again, you figured there's some Madison theory in effect there with Sony Michel. So, and then after that, I don't have a great, I guess I don't really have like a great person after that I would think to be loading up on. Another notable limitation in practice was Josh Jacobs. He was limited on Thursday, so that's one that you just kind of side-eye that. He didn't show up on the Wednesday practice report, is limited on Thursday. That is an ankle issue, so I think we've got to monitor Jacobs, you know, and then scoop up any Peyton Barber shares that you might otherwise not have and that are potentially out there in the market. Again, it's a decent matchup here for the Vegas running game. I think you may be in, you know, it's neutral, so you might be in the business of potentially wanting to play them. It's a high total game as well, so you might be wanting to play Peyton Barber. So just sort of keep that in mind if something happened with Jacobs that we don't necessarily know. We should, maybe by the time you even hear this or even on Saturday, we might have probably more information about that, about his likelihood to play. That's those guys. David Johnson's been ill all week, so he looks like he DNP'd all week, so looks like he's probably out. James Robinson, limited participant all week, probably in, and then DNP's all week for Boston Scott. So that's one that he's probably trending in the wrong direction. So maybe this could absolutely be a spot for Miles Sanders to actually get some extended work, which would be pretty good. And listen, it's a great matchup too. It's against the Jets, so really the best running back matchup that you could hope for. This could be a sneaky Miles Sanders huge upside game. So again, I'm sure he's going to be really popular playing like DFS. So those are the injury things I'm watching for. So the good matchups here at running back, there's a handful of them this week that are basically more than 2 points. So again, at the far extreme, Philly against the Jets. So Miles Sanders is in lineups for sure. San Francisco against Seattle. So we'll see there. What I'm curious with that one is without Debo, what does that rushing game look like? Well, I think it's absolutely Elijah Mitchell, a lot of Elijah Mitchell. Minnesota against Detroit, we like the Madison matchup, third best of the week. Washington against Vegas, so we talked about that game from the opposite perspective. That's a good game for Gibson. Tampa against Atlanta, that's a game with a big favorite in favor of Tampa. So again, I don't think this is probably a week you're going to be desperate in terms of, you know, you got Cleveland, Tennessee, Green Bay, and Carolina on buys. This isn't a game you're necessarily super, super desperate, probably, for waivers. I think you're absolutely playing Fournette, they're absolutely desperate for streamers. I think you're probably playing Fournette for sure, undoubtedly. Ronald Jones, potentially, you know, in that lesser sort of mop-up role in a good matchup. Like, I hate doing that, but if you're destitute at running back, that could be a place to pivot. Good matchup for Miami against the Giants. Again, so I would shift out probably your Phillip Lindsay shares, maybe add back some Duke Johnson on that one and Gaskin, you know, in the running back two landscape. Good matchup for the Chargers, Cincinnati as well there. So Eckler and Mixon, they were going to be in your lineup, and hopefully they'll give you an extra juice. Okay, Dallas had the worst of the week. They already played. The Giants, next toughest against Miami. Pittsburgh against Baltimore. The Saints already played. Arizona against Chicago. And then Buffalo against New England. Not that that's going to matter a ton. Houston versus Indy. I'll say this. If this is a spot where David Johnson's out, like, this could actually be a consolidated game in favor of Rex Burkhead. So Rex Burkhead, a sneaky, sneaky spot start if necessary this week, for sure. Again, if it's James Conner's in, Najee Harris is in, Saquon Barkley, not that he's much earned it late, but probably should be in as well. He's got one of the tougher matchups here down the stretch at the running backs total, sort of overall. They're mostly negative matchups, not hugely negative, but mostly negative. So not great here in terms of his ability to turn it around. Next week's basically the only of his next four games, or next, you know, remaining five games in the regular, you know, in the week through week 17 that are positive there for You know, four out of the five are negative. The only one that's positive is the Chargers next week. Okay, so that's your situations there at the running back position. All right, let's look at receiver here in terms of some injuries, and then we'll look at the matchup stuff. So I think one of the big things we're watching for this week is Hopkins, of course, and with his deal, he limited DNP on Friday. Haven't seen quotes on it yet in terms of what it is. Again, we just got that report that it was a game time decision there from Cliff Kingsbury. Haven't seen any specifics on why he was held out, but that's trending in a direction that I don't like. So probably Hopkins, I'm guessing, if I had to bet, is going to be on the doubtful side of questionable. So just be aware of that and have some contingency plans in place. AB, obviously out with the suspension, the COVID stuff. Curtis Samuel, limited participant here the past couple of days, so hopefully to see him back will be nice for that Washington offense. John Ross, limited on Friday. He had an illness that he missed 2 days earlier this week on. Limited DNP for DeSean Jackson, so that's heading in the wrong direction. So that's one that, you know, I needed a couple spot starts, and I had added DeSean Jackson, so we'll pay attention to that one. Friday and then into the weekend. Corey Davis, DMP limited. So heading in the right direction. Not sure what we'll get. It's been a couple of days here, so we'll see there. And then Houston, both Chris Conley and Brandon Cooks. I wouldn't otherwise comment on Chris Conley, but to say that they are both sick. DNPs on Wednesday and Thursday, both of them limited participants on Friday. So watch that. It was an injury downgrade for Odell Beckham Jr., limited DNP Wednesday and Thursday. So heading in the wrong direction. Lots of heading in the wrong direction this week. So be very mindful. Again, spend a little bit of extra time Sunday morning making sure all your situations are good. And we'll see there. Questionable for Allen Robinson, Deebo Samuel. Sorry, it's actually doubtful for Allen Robinson, doubtful for Deebo Samuel, doubtful for Sterling Shepard, although he's practicing, so maybe that'll be a potential uptick. It looks like Kadarius Toney's out as well, so those are all situations to watch for. Danny Amendola, DNP out with a knee injury. So is Marquise Goodwin, a guy that I know we streamed in some spots. The good matchups here, Detroit against Minnesota is actually the best matchup of the week. I don't know how much I trust that. Josh Reynolds, maybe. Amon-Ra St. Brown if I'm absolutely destitute. Additionally, you've got Vegas with a good matchup against Washington. So again, maybe that's more Derek Carr than anything else. We'll get to Waller in a second here. Brian Edwards, but he's been disappointing as well. So I know it's been kind of an online trope to make fun of him, but he's been one that I don't think has lived up to the billing yet. So. But that's a spot. And again, that's maybe more of a situation. Maybe it's like a Zay Jones as well, because you get a spot start with a potential DeSean Jackson being out. Atlanta's a good matchup against Tampa. I'm not sure, you know, outside of Russell Gage, how confident you are going to be playing anybody. Baltimore has a good matchup against Pittsburgh. So you kind of interested there. Marquise Brown, Bateman. So I think those guys are officially on the interesting level this week. And I'll be really interested to see how Brown closes this season, because I think he's going to be a fascinating one this offseason, because I could see Bateman going over him in startup drafts. And that would be very, very interesting given where Brown is production-wise to date. The Giants, good matchup against Miami. You got to sort out who's going to actually be healthy and play there. So good luck with that. And I don't feel confident with Glennon playing. I don't think I mentioned that Daniel Jones is out, by the way. I might not have mentioned that as we got talking about Kyler Murray. But Daniel Jones is out. I'm probably not feeling super confident playing Mike Glennon. Philly, you have a good matchup against the Jets. Surprise, surprise. We already discussed them across the board. So you're probably playing Smith. I don't know if Rager... it's going to warrant it, but maybe that's a Quez Watkins game, something like that. Jacksonville, good matchup against the Rams. The Saints obviously played on Thursday night. Rams against Jacksonville, so that's a good matchup all around for the receivers. Tampa, a good matchup against Atlanta. Arizona, a good matchup against Chicago. And that's it on the plus side there. The negatives, big negative for the Jets wide receivers. Philly is the worst matchup of the week for opposing wide receivers. Second worst is New England for Buffalo. And then Buffalo from New England. So, again, that carries over from the quarterback position. Cincinnati also with a really rough matchup this week against the Chargers. And then it drops pretty much everyone else is neutral. San Fran is slightly to the negative in terms of being outside of -2 against Seattle. But the big, big negatives, the ones I would be a little bit more concerned about, Cincinnati, Buffalo, New England, and the Jets. All right, turning next to lastly to the tight end position here. Your big bummer of a situation is Waller. It looks like he's going to be out. I'm not sure if he's going to miss extended time. But I think, you know, we're kind of, it has the very much the feel of week to week at this point versus, you know, being day to day. So that's one that, you know, that's disappointing. Foster Moreau is going to be an interesting and popular play, I would imagine, in, you know, DFS and waiver wire additions there all around. Other guys that I think are interesting is Jack Doyle, DMP limited full. So he's seen an uptick. He's been up north of 10% the last couple of last 3 weeks, I believe, going back to snap reactions and the target share. So that's officially interesting there. His status, if he's maybe on the wide receiver, the tight end two flex spectrum for you. And then Ricky Seals-Jones, limited as Logan Thomas works back. Logan Thomas not listed. He's been limited the past couple of practices. Not listed, but should be good to go. And no one else of note is limited. Is limited or listed on the practice report injury pre week 13. Okay, looking here at the matchups here, in terms of who's got some of the good matchups, who doesn't. Goddard with a good matchup, the best of the week against the Jets, so that continues to hold. Houston, not really a great way to exploit that. Indy, again, that's a Jack Doyle situation, so that's interesting. I think he's probably certainly on the tight end two landscape this week. San Francisco has a good matchup against Seattle. Pittsburgh, a good matchup against Baltimore. Washington, a good matchup against Vegas. Those are all in the more than 3 points above average production range, so those are good. Atlanta, a good matchup against Tampa. Maybe this is a situation where Pitts can really get off to a good start and make an impact here heading into the playoffs. Cincinnati, good matchup against the Chargers. Denver, Jacksonville as well on the positive side there, facing Kansas City and the Rams respectively. A couple here on the negative side. Buffalo has the worst matchup here against the Patriots, so the Patriots pass defense is really taking it away. Kansas City, it's the second toughest matchup of the week for Kelce, so that's interesting. Not that you're not going to play him, but maybe cap some of your expectations if you're playing DFS, for example. The Patriots, again, Buffalo does a good job. So this is a strength on strength game in terms of both defenses are capable of taking away the passing game, you know, and limiting that. So it'll be really interesting there in terms of how all that goes out. Detroit, rough matchup against Minnesota for tight end, so rough for Hockenson there. Arizona has a tough matchup against Chicago, which is interesting for Ertz. You know, and then I think that Ertz play might be more dependent on, you know, when Hopkins comes back. So if it's going to be an extended absence for Hopkins again, I mean, Ertz is going to continue to be tight in one type range. And then Seattle against San Francisco. So those are the big situations as I look forward to next week. We do have, we've got Thursday night still here upcoming. Your Thursday night game is Pittsburgh at Minnesota. So again, that's maybe a Kenny Ngakoue game. God forbid something happens to Alexander Mattison and Dalvin Cook's not back. So that's a potential watch there. I do want to make one more additional comment. I got this question in the Analytics Dynasty group me chat. There aren't great matchups. No one has a great matchup down the stretch here for defenses against quarterbacks as we look for, you know, in leagues where we have team defenses playing. So I would just sort of generally note that. The Chargers, Denver, KC, Cincinnati, San Francisco, and Seattle are on the better, like the top six teams. Again, they're all less than a point better than average. So keep that from what it's worth. The only team outside of a point off of average is Chicago. They're a point worse, you know. So, you know, that's maybe a rougher matchup. But again, it's not anything I'm super, super concerned with. As I look forward here at week 14, some of the better matchups. Cleveland, here's an interesting one. Cleveland's actually playing Baltimore week 14. And Cleveland has, Baltimore recent stretch of turnovers and the like. So that could be one that potentially be an ad there. So Cleveland, if they've made it onto waivers, is an ad. San Francisco against Cincinnati in week 14, a good matchup. Carolina coming off a bye against Atlanta. So that's interesting. They don't have many good matchups after that, but maybe a one-time streamer. Yeah, you know, it's Buffalo, it's Tampa, it's the Saints. And maybe the Saints is a really good match in week 17. So you might bookend those two games. You could potentially stream some guys there. New Orleans already played. Green Bay will be coming off a week 13 bye, so maybe you can add them ahead against Chicago and then Baltimore. Two positive matchups in week 14, week 15. So that's one to potentially watch for. And then let's see, a couple other ones here. Denver has good matchups against Detroit, Cincinnati, and then Vegas here over the next 3 weeks after this week. So that could be one to potentially go for and add. And so those are some of the ones. Jacksonville actually has decent matchups here. They play Tennessee, Houston, and the Jets. So that's one, you know, they might be out there and available potentially. So that's a potentially streamable spot that you might not otherwise have thought about. So those are the big ones that I think are to the advantageous side. I said I would cover that. Again, that's just using some of the football guys' data. So hope that helps if you're playing in your team defenses. Good luck here down the stretch. We will continue to have you covered. Going to do some snap reactions. It's going to be a little bit more centric to matchups as we sort of get past this. Again, longer-term vision on players doesn't necessarily so much matter after the trade deadline and you're playing your playoffs. You're looking for more trends like that and stuff like that. So we'll take a little bit different of a turn here. AOD 2022 edition's coming along well, so excited on that. Doing a lot of writing here this past week. So hopefully we'll have that out. We'll have it out in the normal schedule. I always feel like I'm behind at this point, so that probably means I'm right on pace. All right, well, that'll do it for this edition of your Week 13 preview. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.